when he sent his word. It didn't start when he got out of the grave. It started when he sent his word. You waiting for the grave, but I'm at the womb right now, praising God. You waiting for someone to get up, but I'm at the entry of the womb saying, come on, baby Jesus. Come on, King of Kings. Come on, Lord of Lords. Come on out for my healing. Come on out for my deliverance. Come out now for my salvation and freedom. Come on. Come. Come. I don't need to be at the tomb. I'm at the womb. You can take that word and plug it all over the world. I don't need to be at the tomb because I'm at the womb. I'm where it began. I'm at the initial descent of Jesus into this earth. When he broke through, miracle birth. And he said, I'm here. And I love how he said it. In the Gospels, he said, before Abraham was, I am. He made a sound that moment that made him equal with God. Because it was God that told Moses to tell him, I am that I am sent. You tell him that. And Jesus messed up the whole religious world when he said, no, before Abraham was, I am. He was saying, I am too. I am also. And it's enough right there to celebrate God because of Jesus. Not because of Christmas, but because God so loved the world. Come on, you know that. Because God so loved the world, he sent his word, right? In the beginning was the word was with God. And that was in the Old Testament. He sent his word. And then in John 1, the word became flesh. But in the Old Testament, he sent his word to heal us and deliver us. In the New Testament, it says now the word became flesh. Isn't that something? He sent it and it became flesh. Prophecy in Old Testament comes in New Testament, heals us and delivers us from all destruction. How many know you're saved today? Yes. From the penalty of sin. Yes. You're saved today. Ultimately from the reign, the rule of sin in your body. And one day you're going to be freed and saved from even the existence of all sin. How many give God thanks for that today? Yes. That's my Christmas message. Now let's go to the word. I celebrate Jesus every day. And I'm so excited that, you know, people across the world decide to recognize Christ in December. But that's okay. I welcome you into an all-year party that we have all around. Amen. And so it's great that the whole world pretty much can recognize this special time. But I want to just shift. I want to go into the book of Psalms, chapter 126 today. Psalm 126. How many excited about God today? Amen. We give honor to God today and all you that are here. Come on, clap your hands if you're in God's presence today and you're happy. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we go on air, before we go into things. But here's the good part. He's not finished. He has done great things. But my text today is he's still doing. Right when you get happy with what's been done. God said, I'm not finished because I got more left to do. And I believe that there is so much more left in 2017 that God wants to do that I don't want to skip over a praise that's needed or a worship or some intercession. I don't want to just get so rambunctious and miss one more morsel that's going to shift my life. Even in the next several weeks of this year, 2017. And so I don't know about you, but there is sometimes nothing better than watching God turn something around. Yeah. Are you here this afternoon? Yeah. And don't let me get happy by myself. Brother Chris, don't let me jump by myself today, man, because I know you still got something in that tank, man. I know there's a shout and a jump and a dance. I know that there's a run. I know, see, you man, don't get it. It's nothing better than seeing a man jump up and praise God. But it's nothing better sometimes than watching God turn things around. You've heard people talk about it. You've seen it on TV. You've read books and you read biographies, all these things about God doing great things. But it's nothing like you standing, sitting, or living in the middle of your life and watching God turn things around. Watching God turn a loved one's life around. Watching God turn a sick body around. Watching God speak to your spouse. Watching God do things that you've been praying for 5, 10, 15, 20 years about. But now you see God turning it around. you see God moving. And everyone else might have said, you should just give up. You should just quit. You should just throw in the towel. You should just forget about him or her because they're beyond saving. I got news for you today. As long as they are left on this earth, they are worth saving. As long as you have breath in your body, you are worth the healing. You are worth the prayer. You are worth everything that God has put in you. You are worth it as long as you are alive. And so I sit back and I watch some time and I just go over my life. I say, God, we watched you turn that thing around. We watched you just solve that whole problem. When we stopped thinking about it, just doing all, even praying. You prayed the same prayer for 30 years, and the day you stopped praying the same prayer, God said, I'm gonna do something new now. God, well, I got tired of hearing that same old prayer. Lord, it's me. Help me, God. I need. God said, I already know what you need, but I already supplied your need. Sound like the record that's going on and on is stuck right there. And somebody needs to go and just bump someone and say, you've been stuck. That needle's been stuck on that same track, on that same sound, on that same tune long enough. And I feel like just bumping someone today. It's time to advance to the next song. It's time to advance to the next album. It's time to advance to your next production. It's time to advance and get off the same thing over and over and over. And when you go through these things, God shows you a light. And you know he's turning things around. And I want to just speak just very quickly here about four phases of the turnaround real quick as I get into the word here. The four phases of the turnaround is when you are standing in the middle of hell, but then God gives you a vision or a dream that is getting better. See, phase one, man, you in the middle of just hell and turmoil or a bad situation or something that is not just going like it should. It don't have to be a sickness or a debt or not. It just could be something that didn't go right. And all of a sudden, there comes a dream or a vision. Phase two, God just reveals it's going to be okay. And that's all you see. You don't know how. You don't know when. You don't know where. But at least you know God gave you a vision or some word that he's going to turn it around. It's going to be okay. How many know that? Weeping endures for a night. You go through the weeping. There is the weeping. But then there's the vision that the joy is coming in the morning, right? And so we're weeping, we're crying, we're moaning, and we're going through. But God releases a vision or a dream or a prophetic word or something that comes. And it's like, wow, okay, God, you're going to work it out. And all of a sudden, the excitement. Now there's a shift. But then in the middle of the shift, after you get that dream or vision, hell breaks out. The devil tries to get you to abort every dream that God sent. He tries to send bad news, or he tries to send some kind of congestion or detour or some kind of construction in your life. So it's like you go through all these roller coaster phases. Here is now, I'm down here. Now God releases the word, and yeah, we're going to get through this. And all of a sudden the word goes forth and pop, hell breaks loose. That's phase three. But then phase four says, I don't care about hell because hell's already been defeated. Oh, yeah, did I say that right this afternoon? I said, I don't care about hell because hell and its demons have already been defeated. And so that phase four says, although hell might erupt, there is still going to be a manifestation that God is turning this thing around. See, I got a glimpse. I got sight. I got a word. I got a vision that it is possible. It's going to be done. And I hold on to what God gave me. I threw away everything else. And in the middle of doing that, there's these dreams that sometimes lie there because it got harder after you got a vision of something good. God said, open a business. But nobody won't give me no money. God says, build your home, but your credit score is 100. Yeah, I said 100. I go to the lowest possible extreme to show you that in your most impossible situation, God makes it possible. See, you tend to think of things that you can do by yourself, but I tend to go where only God can do. When your credit score is 100, but God spoke and said, you're going to have a house next week. You don't know nobody with money. All your friends don't have no money. Matter of fact, you're living together in the same apartment, so you have no idea how I'm going to get to this new house. But yet God spoke to me and said that I'm supposed to have this next week. What do you do? Well, because I got got a vision of it. Oh, come on, someone. Because God allowed me to see it. Because I didn't have to know all the details, but you allowed me to visit eternity, or you allowed me to visit a place that I was supposed to manifest. See, one of the greatest mistakes Satan always makes is he allows you to see it. He can't stop you from seeing it. Oh, man. And God, there's going to always come a breakthrough in an adverse situation. And God is always going to turn around and somehow, some way, it's going to work out for your betterment. Amen. If you believe that, give God a praise offering. Amen. I'm just dancing around the word today because I got something good to share with you. But something always good comes from in God from a bad decision you made. From a difficult position that you're in. You made a decision, but if you were in God, God said it's going to still come out good. Because I love you enough not to let the enemy destroy you. And so even though I know you didn't make a good decision, yet you're still my son. How many threw your sons and daughters away when they made one bad decision? Come on, how many told me to hit the door when they was 5 years old? 5 years old, you don't want to make your bed, get out. 7 years old, you don't want to take out the garbage, get out. I don't think you did that, did you? Now, if they're 18, I'm agreeing with you, get out. Matter of fact, I'll open up the door, I'll pack your bags. Matter of fact, you're not taking my suitcases, get some Walmart bags, get out. Hey, man, they have the audacity to think they're going to take your suitcases. No, you get you a Walmart bag, you get your Woodman's paper bag, and get out. These are my suitcases, right? I'm going to leave that alone, all right. But I want to sow this word in you as I go in. The Lord is doing great things, but are you committed all the way? When you inhale, when you get the vision of glory, but then it goes back to hell, are you still in it all the way? Because I know as we live as these Christians here that every day is not perfect. Every day is not a bed of roses, that some days you probably don't want to get up out of the bed, or some days you don't want to answer your phone, or some days you just want to be left alone with your thoughts, with your reflections, with your simple, whatever it is. There are some days that you just look, just please, nobody call me today and I won't have to say nothing. And God is speaking today and saying, are you really all into this? Are you committed through the high part of the roller coaster as well as the lowest dip? All right. And how many know that when you start going down, it's faster? But when you're going up, it takes a long time. Yeah, I know I'm talking today, but there's a story I want to share with you real quick because it's real applicable to the word of God today. How many ever heard? You know, I've talked about Hobby Lobby before. How many ever heard about Hobby Lobby? David Green, the owner there. Real good story. Hobby Lobby is like Chick-fil-A. They're closed on Sundays. Come on, you ought to give God praise for that. That's a statement. That's a great statement. But Hobby Lobby started in 1972. But I don't know if you realize they started and they were open 7 days a week. They didn't start closing on Sundays until probably about the 80s or so, I believe. And the Lord spoke to this owner and he said, you know what? And the whole family agreed that, you know what? We really need to close on Sunday. That spirit of conviction that we really need to be closed so that we could spend time in worship. And I want to let you know is that they had the faith to believe God to close. But how many know that partial obedience is still disobedience? And so what they begin to do in their closing of stores on Sunday, instead of closing them all, they started closing them state by state. And it started in Nebraska, and Nebraska happened to be the state with the least amount of stores. That's easy. Come on, someone, look at your neighbor and say, sometime we want to take the easy road. And so, yeah, God spoke, and let's close these stores on Sunday, but let's start in Nebraska because Nebraska only has six stores, and we won't lose as much money with six stores. And they went from Nebraska to the other one, and they got all the way from Nebraska to the largest one, which was Texas, which had over 60 stores. And I want to tell you a story. Between Nebraska and Texas, they lost money. Every state they went to where a store was at, they lost money. When they finally got to Texas and the 60th store was closed, God turned it around. You just missed that whole thing. They thought they was doing God's will by closing the store, but God said, when I spoke to you to close on Sunday, I don't just mean state by state. I mean morning jump in the first time I speak to you. They lost money in every store. Every store they were closed, they lost money all the way until they got to the last store that was open. And after that, God turned everything around. They started getting profit again. God is interested in total obedience, not partial obedience. If God spoke to you to do something, if God said, I'm just saying this because I love to just get a smile. If God said 10%, don't give him 8. Seven people tithe that heard that. Wow. They agreed to do what God said to do, but they didn't agree how God said it was to be done. God, I believe you, but let me do it my way. God, I heard you and I know it's going to work, but let me do it. And so look at the whole picture here. So they're going month by month here. Months are going by and we're losing money. Why? I don't understand. But God said, close them. Now, how many know that you could avoid so much if you believe God the first time? Amen. How many have gone through years of agony and torture because we just didn't believe God the first day he said he could do it? Okay. All right. You still with me today? Because I'm finna go somewhere with this. I'm finna turn you up and turn you around and place your feet, as the song said, on some different kind of ground. Amen? That's the kind of God that we serve today. And so here the stage was set here, and the Lord began to speak to me. And he showed me here is that there are many people that God didn't turn it around until they gave all. God didn't do everything he said he needed to do. He had to first get them to a place where all was in. And God took me to the first place that he showed me. He said in Genesis 22, when Isaac was finally offered by Abraham, that's when now he confirmed that blessing of covenant over his life. Now I see that I could trust you. You ain't give. I helped me out today. You gave me what I asked for. Now, I know we went through years, 25, and we've been working with this thing, but you finally gave me what I asked for. Now I can trust you with the blessing. Sometimes we shout, I'm blessed with 25 years, but why don't you have it? Because you haven't gave everything God asked for first. Now I trust you, seeing that you gave me your only son. Now the Bible says in Genesis 22, and multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. He didn't say adding no more. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to expand you. I'm going to give you more than what you asked for. That was one instance. Soon as I got everything I asked for, I flipped the switch and I turned the blessing on. How about the man Gideon? You had a 32,000 man army, but that's not what I want. Because I didn't have 32,000 men that were all in. You can have a church where every seat is full, but everyone will not likely be all in. Somebody's waiting for the pastor to hurry up and sit down. Not you. Someone's waiting for them to finish singing that song because their feet hurt. Not you. You can have 10,000 strong, but maybe out of that 10,000, you might have only 1,000 that's all in. Gideon had a big army. But God said they all aren't in. Because I need men who's going to stand the test of time. I need men who's going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I need men who is not afraid to stand up for holiness and righteousness and be a man of valor and stick it out to the end. And I say the victory is won. So 22,000 went home. Because they weren't all in. Judges chapter 7, if you're looking for the scripture. 22,000 men went home. 10,000 left. That's still good numbers. But it's still not 10,000 that are all in. I need someone that's all in today. I don't want a toe dipper. Oh, I don't want just a finger dipper. I want someone who's ready to plunge in and say, I am all in, because I want the dividends of the all-in blessing. Come on, someone. As Hobby Lobby found out, it's not the partial obedience that's going to get you the blessing and the reward. It's the full obedience. And so out of 10,000 men, only 300 were all in. What are the odds in your life? Are you counting on people to be there when they're really not supposed to be there for you? Are you putting all your cards on them when God said all you need is just me? Are you depending on someone's shoulders when their shoulders are already dragging, and once they get on your show, you're both going to be dragging the ground? Or are you depending depending on me. See, it's God that's going to give you the victory anyway. And so even if it's 300 men, at least it's 300 strong men that aren't afraid. Would you rather have people that aren't afraid in your life? Or would you rather have 10,000 people who are chickens? Yeah, all right now. I begin to look at the word of God and I go further in Acts chapter number 2. The New Testament church, it didn't expand until that 120 were together. Jesus told him to go and wait for the promise. Get together, get on one accord, get in worship, get in prayer, get in praise, get in that place of oneness and watch me move. All in. Not 119. How many know that God could have did it with 119? God could have did it with 219. But he said 120. I need 120 all in that are going to wait for the promise and not get tired because the promise didn't come on the first day. I need 120 people who are going to praise God even though they didn't get the manifestation on Sunday. Come on, someone. Even though you didn't get the breakthrough you thought you needed on Sunday and you didn't feel like you were healed on Sunday, but yet you still believe God that it was spoken and it's done. 120. The promise is going to come. Why are they looking like crazy up in that room 120 days? Look at them waiting up there. Look at them just waiting all these days going by and still nothing's happened. Nothing happened. Why don't they come down? I know they're tired. And I'll tell you what. I might look like I'm tired. It might look like nothing's going to happen. But when something happens, God said everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to feel it. Everybody's going to know. And what happened at Pentecost is that they begin to speak in tongues. And all those that were in Jerusalem that were from a different nation, a different place, they begin to speak in their language. Why? Because God said, I want everybody to know that I'm Lord. Yeah. And so I begin to go deep into Psalm 126. Can I go here real quick here? And I begin to look at this song of degrees. Say with me, a song of degrees. And you know what degrees mean, right? It means that it simply means going up. Say with me, going up, going up. Say it again, going up, going up. So it was here that Israel, the Jews, were going up and ascending to the temple to worship time. And so God began to speak to me and he began to say that in 2018, the church is going up higher. You're beginning to ascend to another degree, another place in God. And so how many know that sometimes you cannot tell the difference between maybe 19 degrees and 20 degrees? Because when it's cold, it just feels cold, doesn't it? But when God begins to shift 19 degrees to 20 degrees for the church, it's like going from 0 to 100 degrees just like that. The world, you measure the growth. 19, 20, it's the same thing. And God, it is not the same thing. God said, I'm going to ascend my church to another degree. And this whole psalm was written. And there are psalms that are just songs of ascent. And this psalm here was written just about degrees, going to the temple. And this degree here was about now Israel coming out of Babylon. Say it with me, Babylon. Oh, I got a word for you at Babylon here. And so here is Babylon. How many of you know that that name of Babylon is what? A place of what? Say confusion. Say it with me, confusion. The Lord gave me a new definition for that. New to me, but not new to him. The Lord said Babylon is a place of your decision. You didn't have to be in Babylon. You made a decision that took you to Babylon. You didn't have to spend 70 years there, but you didn't want to worship me out here. And so I had to take. So Babylon is initially a place where you made your choice. I don't want to be here. Make a choice to get out of here. What? I don't want to go through. Make another choice there. Because it was a choice you made that got you in Babylon for 70 years. And you're not getting out till 70 years is up. So you might as well praise me in the middle of 70 years. Your next decision is, when I get out, I promise I'm never going back. When I get out of, how many ever said that before? When I get out of debt, I promise you I'm not going in debt again. God, if you get me out of this jam, I'm going to leave him alone. I'm going to leave him, her alone. If you deliver me, I promise you I will never touch it again. You made the decision. So Babylon is really a place of your decision. But how many know that God is such a just God that he doesn't choose to leave you in Babylon? I'm going to say that again. He doesn't choose to leave you in Babylon, because the Bible says when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. And I don't want to let you know today, God is dealing with dreams. Oh, let me talk to someone today. God told me in 2018, he's come to deal with your dream. I'm speaking as for God today. I'm going to deal with your dream, because you thought it was a dream, but your dream is getting ready to turn into a reality in 2018. See, thank God for the dreamers today. People laughed at your dream, but you pursued your dream. And when they thought you were asleep, you was actually just checking your eyes for cracks. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. You thought I was asleep. I was just searching my eyelids for cracks, Brother Chris. Is there a crack over here? And a crack? See, I'm dreaming, but God said, wake up. God told me to tell the church today, wake up. Knock that needle off that same song and tell them your dream is getting ready to live, and your dream is going to multiply, and your dream is going to touch lives that you didn't think about. Your dreams. I'm telling you, mark my words, today on this 17th day of December, 2018 is going to be a year of the dreamers. Woo! Those that's been dreaming deep, dreaming long, dreaming hard, God said, wake up, because your dream is getting ready to now come to fruition. And the dream that you I gave you, and it looked crazy because others weren't supposed to know about it.
Come on now.
I got to go back. I can't go too fast. I got to work this thing today. Tell your neighbor, he has to work this thing today. God is turning your thing around now. Your dream looked like a distant future. But let me tell you what the Lord told me, because all this is coming into play now. He said it's coming to a reality now. That's the word he gave me. It was like it was in the future, but your future, catch this, saints, if you're with me, your future is now. What did I just talk about back in September? The year 5778. Your new is becoming now. He said your future is becoming now. The future is becoming now. Now you're walking into what God originally had for you. And so here's what the Lord began to share with me right now here. He said it's okay to dream, but don't just live in the dream. Live the dream. I'm going to say it again. Don't just live in the dream. Live the dream. The record's going, but the needle's not moving. It's time to live the dream now. And so I begin to go deep into this psalm here, and I begin to look at it and begin to say, when the Lord turned again the captivity, when we were like them that dreamed, the first thing I begin to look at is that the Lord was the one that turned it around. I'm going to say it again. It was the Lord that turned this thing around for us. It was the Lord that turned your heart. It was the Lord that turned your tide, or turned your fate in life. And what was a disaster, the Lord knew all along that nothing is beyond my capability or my hand. So therefore, I am going to reach out one day and I'm going to turn this thing around by just releasing one word. You know what the word he released was? Now. He said, if my people can just understand the word now. When you as a parent said, do it now, there was an emphasis you place on now. It means that you want it done. I don't feel like it, Mom. What do you say? I said what? So God is now talking to his children, and see, your children are doing something they didn't want to do, but God is saying, I got something that you want, and he's saying, what is wrong with my people? I want to give it to them. Now it's like I'm asking them to take a garbage out, but I'm ready to give them their dream. Let me talk to someone that knows where I'm going with this thing today here. They act like I'm asking them to make their bed, but in reality, I actually want to give them homes and mansions and jobs and authority. You act like God is asking you to do some hard thing. He said, I want to do it now for you, what you dreamed about. Yes. Well, someone shout now. Yeah. How many want your things now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me go on here. So in verses 2-4, the Bible begins to say that when then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue with singing, then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things. It's something when your enemies see you bless. It's something when the heathen knows that God has done something for you. You don't even see it yet, but your heathen say, man, you know what, bro? You can't hang out with me no more because there's something about you, man, that I feel convicted. I feel like I can't say the things I said and I can't just act the way I acted before around you because the heathen now is seeing that God has turned your life. That's one part of this thing here. And so he said that now the heathen begins to say that the Lord has done great things for them. We can see that the Lord has done. And so here's one thing that the Lord showed me here. You know when a person's all in. When a person's all in, they don't talk the same. When you know a person is fully committed, like the 300 men that Gideon had, they weren't talking about defeat. They weren't down there, got their head all in the water trying to get water. They were still looking up. So their speech, their persona changes when you know someone is all in what you are doing. They don't always call you asking you how, when, what, and where. This is what I loved about the Apostle Peter so much. He proved that he was all in. When Jesus said, come. He didn't have time to calculate the odds of will I sink or swim. He made an unconscious, uncalculated, unprotocol decision at the moment that broke everything up. And yes, yeah, you know he sank, but he did something that makes him great. Because I know he's great because how many of you walked on water? Let me go on this side. How many of you walked on water? Nobody? Okay, I'm just making sure here. I'm talking about sitting in water and floating in water. I'm talking about walking on water. And so he made an uncalculated, an unscripted, an unconscious decision to move now. Why? Because he really was all in. Even though he still needed some work done. Hello, someone. How many know they still need some work done in their life? But they're all in. How many know that you're not above cursing someone out? Be honest. Look at you saints. I know you. But the reality was, is Peter was all in. Even though he still needed work done. What bothers me the most is that sometimes saints belittle themselves and thinking, well, I got to wait till everything's perfect before I get all in. No, I need you all in now so God can do something crazy and stupid crazy through a person who's imperfect. I need you to be a little freaky and nutty in a bad way in terms of just doing silly things and doing good. I need you not to go out sinning. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean, watch y'all now. But sometimes you're a little unorthodox. But yet you're still all in. I didn't say go out and sin. Because the wages are still the same. But sometimes you are the one that just, man, it's so different. Why you got to look? Why? Well, I tell you right now, if you hung around Peter, you would have thought Peter wasn't saved. Just like some of you judge each other. Oh, they're not really saved. I don't know. No, they're all in. They just need some work done. They just need a tire changed. They just need an oil lube. Come on. They need their windshields wiped off. Come on. They just need some kind of, they need a spark plug. Something's going on in their life that's causing them to shoot off. And they're missing it. So let's check the cylinder. I know I'm talking to someone today. And so Peter was that one because he made a decision that he was going to be all in. If you say come, then I'm coming. That's right. Come on. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Here's what the psalmist says. First of all, the heathen said the Lord is great things. And then they said the Lord has done great things for us. It took the heathen to show them you're blessed. Sometimes it takes the world to show you, you know, you're really blessed. Yeah. As Christians, we can get down on ourselves sometimes. Yeah. And someone that really needs Jesus can look at you and say, you know what? I don't even have Jesus. You're really blessed. I wish I had the opportunity. I wish I had the chance. I wish I had the access to what you have access to. And so sometimes a person on the outside can actually wake you up. That's right. Amen. But here's what I want to be at today. In verses 5-6, it says, they that sow in tears. How many dreamers do I have here today? God is getting ready to visit your dreams. And God is going to visit your dreams with a message saying it's time for me to fulfill that unorthodox, very undescribable image and picture I showed you. And when you were trying to figure out and match colors and shapes and sizes and all different varieties and things, God said, I know that things are symbolic, but yet it was for a future of things coming together. I mean, I'm going to hold that one for later, okay? But in verse 5, it says, they that sow in tears shall now reap in joy. They that sow, say that with me, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I feel Holy Spirit now. I feel Holy Spirit now. I feel Holy Spirit now. Because God is saying, Brother Ming, that your tears were seeds. Sometimes you think your tears are bad things, but your tears are actually seeds that were being sown in the ground to reap a joy and harvest for the church. I'm talking to you, Brother Ming, that the tears were seeds and the seeds were now a joyous harvest that other people can take joy in. The fountains of tears that you cried all day. I remember that. Tears after tears after tears after tears. And God said that those were seeds after seeds after seeds, that my sons and daughters are now rejoicing because of your tears, because of the seeds that kept dropping to the ground. Every seed that dropped to the ground was now a symbolic move of God, that joy was going to come in someone's life. That's why you couldn't stop. It was uncontrollable. There is joy in places that God gave through your tears in this hour. And right when you think your tears are going to mean nothing but hardship and agony and pain, God said those tears were not because you were in pain. Those tears are for the joy of the Lord. And not only the joy of the Lord, but God said your tears are now going to turn into a harvest when you come in with the sheaves. And the sheaves, God said, are the bundle of the grain, the abundance of grain. Watch these words. The abundance of harvest came through your tears. Sheaves are bundled up grain. And it didn't say sheave, it said sheaves. God now is going to produce souls from tears. Your tears have been a seed. I wish you'd get with me today, because I'm not trying to be politically correct with you. I'm being spiritually accurate with you. You thought your tears were signs of hardship and agony and defeat. But for many of you, your tears were seeds. Uncontrollable tears means uncontrollable harvests. Seeds go in the ground. And seeds come out different than what they went in looking like. My tears went into the ground, but someone came out with a joy they didn't have before they went in. My tears went into ground one way, but it came out as someone else's victory another way. I'm trying to be still today, but I'm going to read this again. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. It's not just you reaping, but someone else is reaping from your tears. Because God said, I could trust your eye ducts with my water, because I wanted to bring a harvest, but I couldn't bring it the normal way. I got to bring it through tears. I got to bring it a way that people didn't see a harvest coming. People think something is wrong when someone cries, but God said it's right because you're crying. I bet you wish you could boo-hoo right now. But your tears. And this was the deal. Because Israel was coming out of captivity. God had turned it around. And they had cried. And I don't know about you, but when I think about those that were in captivity, when I look at a man like Daniel crying. Oh God, not why am I here? Oh God, it's going to be a joyous day when we come out. These tears are tears because I see the end result of what God is doing. These tears are not because of what I'm in. It's because of what I see God is getting ready to do. These tears are not the pain that I feel. These tears are the joy. joy on the other side of what I'm going through. You got to learn that your tears are not always in the beginning of, oh God. Your tears can be sometimes you see the end. That's what it says. Those that sow in tears, you sow tears. Your tears were seed and for 70 years. Oh my God, are you getting ready for this today? For 70 years, you collected seed. For 70 years, you sowed seed of tears in the ground. Mean you cried for a day, and God released a harvest of joy in a whole region. Yes. 70 years of crying. Do you think God is going to cause Israel to just be silent and nobody? That's why what happened 2 weeks ago had to happen. Because there's been a lot of tears over Israel. But there's getting ready to be a reaping now. I see sheaves coming now. I don't see just one bundle of grain. I see bundles of grain now coming together. Let me go into this thing and I'm going to finish up here. But it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Watch this here. He that goeth forth and weepeth, he's bearing precious seed. But watch what he says. And I'm going to paraphrase this. There's no doubt you coming out with a harvest. I'm coming over here again now. I said there's no doubt you coming out with a harvest. There's no doubt you coming out with joy. There's no doubt you coming out with something in your hand to prove to the world. Listen, I went through, but I went through with joy. I went through, but I went through with peace. I went through, I cried. I might have lamented over years and years, but I've got some sheaves. I got some harvests. I got some sons. I got some daughters. I got some regions. I got some churches. I got some workmates. I got everyone coming because I refuse to stop crying. Those that are all in and you cry unto God, he said, there is no doubt that I'm going to turn your situation around. There's no doubt you're coming out of a bad decision. There's no doubt that you're coming out of Babylon. Confusion used to have you, but now I'm getting ready to regulate your mind. Now I'm getting ready to turn everything around. And the first person I want to see is the ones that put you there. The first ones I want you to see are the enemies that tried to keep you down. The first ones I want to know are the ones that said you're crying because you're a baby. You're crying because you're weak. You're crying because you're done. No, I'm not done. I'm not weak. I am just sowing seed. My tears were seed so that you can live today. My tears were seed so that you are healed today. My tears were seed so that you could run and praise God today. Years I cried over this altar every single day, and I couldn't stop crying, and I wasn't sick, I wasn't sad, I was crying the harvest. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, there is no doubt. I love this so much. He's coming back again. I was knocked down, but I'm coming back again. I was out, but I'm coming back again. I was disqualified, but I'm coming back again. I was excluded, but I'm coming back again. I was denied, but I'm coming back again. They said failed, but I'm coming back again. They said bad credit, but I'm coming back again. They said you're not the right one, but I'm coming back again. And now that I'm coming back again, I'm coming back because I got tears on my account. How much money you got? Boy, I got 70 years of tears. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? See, I'm talking to you in spiritual terms. I've got a lot on my account. I've got tears. I've got seed. I've got things. See, you only get a harvest from a seed. I've never seen a harvest come where a seed was not first planted. So I can show you years of seed, God. Are you hearing me today? I said, are you hearing me today? He said, No doubt you are coming back again, but here's where I wanted to get to. I'm trying to close. But he said, you coming back again, rejoicing. Am I in the right church today? Did I wake up and he said, I'm coming back again, but I'm coming back rejoicing now. I'm coming back dancing now. The difference is my seed, my tears meant something. I didn't know the value of my struggle. Oh, yeah, I'm going to say that again. I didn't know the value of my struggle. I didn't know the value of my hardship. I didn't know the value of my disappointments. I didn't know the value of my rejections. Those things were actually causing the harvest to get bigger. The more you reject me, the greater my tears, the greater my harvest. Ah, yeah. But I'm coming back rejoicing now. I didn't know that the first time, but this time, wait a minute. You almost cheated me out of my harvest because I thought something was wrong with me. I thought that this was not God. I thought God didn't speak. I thought my dream was not a reality. See, I'm not like that song, Don't Wake Me, I'm Dreaming. Wake me up, somebody. Tell me this dream is real because I want to come in rejoicing. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Maybe before you went in and you didn't realize the value of your struggle. This time you realize that your tears meant something to God. So now, God, I'm coming back to my place. I'm ascending to that holy hill. Who shall ascend? Oh, God. Today. Who is bold enough to ascend to the hill or the mountain of God? Not someone that is dirty. No, he who has what? I'm coming back this time and I'm ascending because my heart is right. I'm coming back this time and ascending because my motive is right. I'm coming back this time and I'm ascending because I have unforgiveness not in my heart no more. I'm ascending because I let it go. You remember the comeback kid? I'm coming back rejoicing now. I'm not coming back disgruntled and upset who didn't let me in. Remember I told you on Wednesday, it's not about who's going to let me do it. It's who's going to stop me from doing it. God, help me today. You don't have to let me do anything. It's can you stop me from dancing to my God? Can you stop me from rejoicing about my King? Can you stop me from getting my... You can't stop me. So I'm coming back this time rejoicing. And I've got sheaves in my hand. And here's the bigger thing. You've got sheaves because someone cried for you. How many feel like rejoicing? Just stand with me because I'm finished. I'm stopping right here. This is a good place to just say, you know what, boop. I'm ready to push the needle to another song. I said I'm ready to push your needle to another song. You know, we always talk about, oh, we're weeping and do it for a night, but joy coming in the morning. Would you wake up already? I'm so tired of hearing that scripture, but I don't see no joy. If you tell me that weeping and do it for a night and joy coming in the morning, how many mornings have you woke up and you still sad? I believe that in this time, you got a value of what you went through. I'm talking to someone today. Because someone think that, well, no, there was value in your struggle. Say it with me, there was value in my struggle. This is why the Bible says, well, the Lord brought them back from captivity again. They were like them that dream. They were saying, we didn't think this would ever happen. We didn't think this would ever come to pass. We had no idea that we were actually going to feel this good. We thought our tears was because we're going to die. I promise you right now, let somebody in church begin to cry. Everybody gonna run around and be like, are you okay? If you the one crying, say, let me go. I'm sowing tears of joy today. These aren't tears for you to pacify me. These aren't tears for you to come and bring me Kleenex. These aren't tears for you to come and pat me on the back. These tears are for your breakthrough. These tears are for your healing. These tears are for you to get the abundance out of life. Is this what you want today? To cry and watch God move? Brother me, the Lord could not give me why you cried. for about a month. It's been about a month, hasn't it? That day when you cried uncontrollably, I said, God, there is something to that cry. And God began to show me this scripture, Psalm 126. The seed that you laid in the ground, my brother, you got a harvest. Every time you walk through the doors, you're carrying sheaves in your hand. There is grain. There is souls attached to your life because of your tears. See, you think that tears are just something that expresses human emotion, but your tears were actually expressing God's heart. And see, tears are not just an emotional thing alone. Tears are the seed that's going to cause your harvest to be loose right now. Now, I'm not telling you to cry a fake cry. I'm telling you that if you've been in Babylon, the place of your decision, say the place of my decision. And I don't know about you, I don't cry sometime about some decisions and play like, oh God, if I can get out of this jam, if I can get out of this man, Lord, oh, I'm sorry. How many of them said over and over, I'm sorry, God. God, forgive me. God said, I heard you the first time. I'm not mad at you. Your tears are now turning into seed for me. And I believe today that God is visiting you. And I want every dreamer to just stand across this front right here, right now. Now, if you're dreaming because you ate something bad, go sit down. You mean to tell me all you're having dreams? Do you see how much harvest is at this altar right now? They were said, we are like them that dream. When the Lord visited again, when the Lord turned the captivity around again, they said, we were like them that dream. Look at all this. I don't know all your individual dreams, but I believe that 2018, there is a specific dream or series of dreams. Who's been dreaming series? There are series of dreams. Series, not just a dream, but there's a series. God said that that was a series that's all connected. And the Lord said in 2018 that he's going to connect every series of dreams that you were dealing with. Series, not just one abstract dream that came, but a series of dreams that, you know, you couldn't connect them. God's going to connect those dreams this year. And I said this year because I'm already in 18. God is going to connect them in certain way. And so what they're connected for is not for just the benefit of you, but the dreams are going to answer and solve some problems in 2018. You hear me today? Your dreams are actually going to answer and solve some problems in 2018, okay? It's going to handle some situation. Your dreams are actually going to be the answers to some dilemmas that have been in the world. Your dreams are actually going to be some solutions to those that were just contemplating, what do we do? And some of you are going to go up and say, the Lord showed me you in a dream in 2017. And the Lord showed me that you were in the field and you were doing ABC and 1, 2, 3. But this is what was happening. This is what was going on. And that person's going to look at you and say, you must be living my life because that is exactly what I was doing. And you're going to show them that God was doing 1, 2, 3 out of a dream that you dreamed this year. This is so important today about series of dreams. Because when I read Psalm 126, he said, now the Lord had turned us around, the whole captivity. But then he said, we were like them that dreamed. Meaning that we felt like it was not coming to pass. It was great, but yet it wasn't reality. But I believe this year it's going to be a reality. So I want you to just close your eyes right now. And I hope that if you're a dreamer, you've written your dreams down. Because I'm going to give you a specific instruction concerning your dreams. You must go back and read your dreams. You must not only just read your dreams, but you must go back and read your dreams as though God was putting together those series, as though you were writing a book of dreams, because God is saying there is a connection that he was drawing between A to Z. The dreams of your life were not just simple abstract dreams that just came out of any just old reason, but it was actually connected to a greater harvest. And if you understand anything about 2018 is going to be a great year for the church in terms of harvest, in terms of exposure, in terms of influence. And a lot of this is coming because someone dreamed. And so as you begin to write your dreams, and as now you begin to revisit your dreams, and as you begin to read your dreams, now you're reading your dreams from a place of reality. Are you hearing me, dreamers? You're reading them up from a place of reality, as though it is happening right now. As though God had turned, and right now, everything that was spoken and released in your dream is coming to fruition. And so when you begin to now read them dreams and look at it in terms of the now, God is going to give you, and I want to know, some of you, just tell me, write it down about now. I'm teach you how to interpret your own dream is what I'm doing, really. When you now begin to write it down, what you're seeing, I want you to begin to understand, and I wrote this before in the book, understand that colors mean something. Animals mean something. Places mean something. There is definition and name. And so you're asking God now to give me the awareness of the reality of what I dream. And because of that, God said to you today, you're going to be a problem solver. Father, I pray for the problem solver. I pray for that Joseph. I pray, Lord God, for that dreamer that has consecutive, consistent dreams. But the understanding sometime has been dim. To the point sometimes, who here has cried in their dream? Raise your hand. I see like tears in a dream. I see weeping in dreams. Weeping dreams. And you woke up as though you were feeling down and very heavy. The word that I spoke to Bing, you need to receive that same word. Because it wasn't a heaviness God was trying to bring. God was trying to show you that your tears were now a pool of a great sheaves of harvest that was coming. The seed of your tears in your dream now fell into a pool or stream. And I didn't even get to that part in the scripture where it talked about a stream that flowed. A stream that flowed. Once was a dried up brook, now becomes a flowing stream. And I believe that God is going to fill up these brooks with tears, and it's going to cause the streams to flow again. And so, Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for every dreamer that is here right now, Lord God, and for every situation that you have turned around at this altar. God, there are many dreamers in this church, Lord God, that have dreamed consecutive series of dreams, Lord God. Lord, and many of these dreams have gone without interpretation or understanding. And Lord, I'm praying right now that in the spirit realm, you begin to do, Lord God, a connection of the dots, a connection of the symbols, a connection of the colors, a connection of the imagery, a connection of the animals, a connection of nature, a connection, Lord God, of all those things, Lord, that have been placed in dreams in terms of people, God. Lord, you understand, God, that you are connecting things, that dreams, Lord God, have a specific reason. And Lord, I pray for the dreamers, the visionaries, Lord God, that even, Lord, those that dream and vision like Peter, Lord God, that was caught in a trance, Lord God, would see themselves doing something greater for the work of the kingdom. And Father, we bless them in the name of Jesus. That dreams, Lord God, now become the reality of what they live in, Lord God. Not the future of what they desire or what they might think they need, but Lord, the dreams become the now. And Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus that even those that have sown in tears, dreamed in tears, that Lord God, they will see that their tears were seeds, Lord God, that are now becoming, Lord, the reality of the harvest of the now. And Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we are a church, Lord God, that will rise up in this hour, that even as this psalm is a song of degrees, Lord, that your church begin to arise to the mountain, Lord God. As the psalmist said, I will look to the hills of what cometh my help. Lord, church arising, church ascending, church going to a new degree, Father, in the name of Jesus. So today, Lord God, I say, let the dreamers dream. Let the interpretation begin to flow. Let it begin to open up the volumes, Lord God, of answers that you're going to connect in the year 2018. And Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Now, if you believe that now, give the Lord a praise offering.
And you might be here that's not saved. If you're unsaved or you're not in a right relationship with Jesus, I need to talk to you for just a moment. Maybe Jesus is not the